0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we start to edge towards the penultimate pre-split fixtures. What's next for Rangers after Ross Wilson leaves for Nottingham Forest? Craig McPherson gets a 6-match ban for that headbutt in the Women's Old Firm game. And Stevie Naismith says third place isn't the be-all and end-all for Hearts, as he explains it was easier for Robert Snodgrass to leave the club. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, it's your friendly Thursday duo, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yep, and it's all heating up. Just two games to go to the split, and a lot at stake starting tomorrow night. Ross County fighting for survival, Aberdeen fighting for third place, trying to push again further ahead of Hearts, who face Hibs first thing Saturday morning, then other big games: Celtic away to Kilmarnock, Rangers at home at St Mirren. Big ties this weekend, and time running out for those who want to make the top six. Your team, Motherwell, still in with a shout.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
No,
I think they've just too late, and then they go to Celtic Park last game split.
See, that's the difference between you two, because you've done your research, you've looked ahead at the fixtures. Yeah. He's just looking at.
I'll retract my statement.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of important games this weekend for clubs. You know, you're looking at who will finish third. Obviously, the league was cemented last weekend. You're looking who can finish third, but I think that the teams like Hibs and Livingston, they'll be looking top six finish. I think it's between those two. And then the three teams I think will be in the relegation battle come the end of the season is obviously Kilmarnock, Ross County and Dundee United. A lot of important games ahead.
Come on down, 0141 951 1025. If you want to look ahead to those fixtures specifically, then, you know, fine, please do. Give us a call, you can tweet us as well. On today's news, if you like Rangers fans, we knew it was happening, I think, last night, but just after we finished, confirmed Ross Wilson leaving the club, going to Nottingham Forest. You've now had a day to catch up with the news, so what do you make of it? What will his legacy be? How do you assess the job that he's done? And perhaps more crucially, what next? Do you still like that structure? Do you still have faith in the structure? Do you want to see someone come in and take the job? Would you like to move away from that type of thing? Would you like to leave it more in the hands of the manager and the CEO? You tell us, right? 0141 951 1025. Really interesting stuff from Stephen Naismith a bit later on. Craig McPherson, I said it in the headlines as well, 6-match ban for that headbutt in the women's game as well. So loads out there. Give us a call right now, please. 0141 951 1025. And of course, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, this is life after the Old Firm game at the weekend. You know, you spend weeks building up to it, you then get the 90 minutes, you deal with the fallout, and then you know what's next. How do they both react? How do Celtic react to pretty much having the title in the bag? How do Rangers react? What do they do? What's next for them? How do they take things forward? All the usual questions.
Yeah, you know what, in my time at Celtic, it was a wee bit less predictable than it is at the minute, because after one of these games, and you were on such a high and you won these games, then the next one was always so important that you didn't fall flat in your face and you didn't lose ground in what you'd done the week before. But this Celtic side, it just doesn't seem possible that they are going to fall flat in their face at Rugby Park come Sunday, especially against a Kilmarnock team who are struggling. For Rangers, again, it's pretty similar. They certainly don't have Celtic's number at the minute at all, but every other team, they seem to get the job done. It's a home game, so obviously they'll be looking for some sort of reaction, but the games are always usually huge. Rangers obviously want to prove that they are much better than they've shown in the past, particularly getting beat last week. It's a perfect time for the players who've come in for a wee bit of criticism this week, some of those bigger players, Kent, Morelos, to really stand up and put in a performance again this weekend.
Or if the league's is over, as everyone says it is, mm-hmm, there's maybe a chance for Rangers to experiment. I'm not talking wildly, I don't think you'll be getting a call back anytime soon, but
no,
you know what I mean, have a look at some other things in the build up to that semi-final.
They may use the squad, Gordon, rotate, but I think they'll obviously have one eye firmly on the semi-final against Celtic at Hampden. They want to get in there with a bit of momentum, it's so important a game. Not in the fact that beating Celtic and getting to the Scottish Cup final where you'll win firm favourites. It's the fact that you've got to try and stop Celtic probably potentially reaching a treble. So I don't think there'll be a host of young blood coming through and a lot of players rested. They've got to keep their match sharpness in their legs. And I think Celtic will the same. They've got squads to rotate. They've got quality players waiting on the bench. Yeah, I think there'll be changes, but I don't think there'll be household changes.
Come on then, 01419511025. What's next? What are you thinking? Rangers fans, Celtic fans, life after that Old Firm game at the weekend. What does the immediate future look like? And for you Rangers fans, maybe a bit more specifically, longer term, Ross Wilson, what do you make of that news? It was confirmed just after we went off air last night. Very inconvenient of all parties, I must say, to save it for us finishing up. But once we went off air, confirmed leaving Rangers to Nottingham Forest. How do you look back on his time? What will his legacy be? How do you assess the job done? And what next? Do you still like that structure? Do you want another sporting director, another director of football? Or would you like to see the club head in a different direction? Do let us know. The more you call, the less I need to listen to these two. You're providing me a service on a Thursday night. 01419511025. It's been a quick week. I can't even remember. Did we have whispers of that on Tuesday night? No, last time we saw you,
no, Ross Wilson.
Yeah,
no.
Is that come out? Is that that's not bad for your standards, by the way. Did that sort of come out the blue then? That's in between intent. Times. What do you make of that? Because that's big news, isn't it?
Yeah, as quite big news, especially the way clubs are structured nowadays. Sporting director, director of football, so much emphasis put on them now, and how a club's run seem to come under a lot of criticism when things don't go well at a club. When things do go well at the club, you very rarely hear anything about them. The fans don't usually laud praise on them. It's usually the manager that's done a good job. But when you're at a club like Rangers and Celtic, you're always in the spotlight, and Ross Wilson certainly has come under some criticism, under fire recently, because the signings clearly haven't been good enough, and that's been laid at his door. So by what I heard of the show last night and what I'm reading, I think the majority of Rangers fans quite happy that Ross Wilson is moving on. But it's a position that's left vacant now, and it's how do they move on from here?
He's certainly left for a big task, because you look at Nottingham Forest, they're sitting there relegation. They've spent over 200 million already this season, so obviously there's more money there for Ross Wilson. That's a big job to try and, you know, stabilise Nottingham Forest. Obviously he can't do anything.
Don't
just
think
now.
Many people in Glasgow are that bothered about the job he's going to, though, are they? It's more about what he's left behind. And
I would just like to wish him well. You know,
are you a big
like
Nottingham Forest fan?
Yeah, I like to see everybody doing well in their new jobs.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to hear, because look, he'll come in for a bit of criticism from Rangers supporters, some section, of course he will. But there's also positives here. You know, he was a guy that was involved in their title, Scottish Cup, Europa League. He brought in guys like Bassey and people like that and made good money. Were they bad signings? Yes, I think they were, and I think they were a right few. But I look back in Ross Wilson's time at Ibrox, and I don't think he was what they call a failure.
Mm. Well, you obviously didn't listen to the show last night. See, I'm a guy that does my homework on that, because listening to the calls last night and the Bassey one, I mean,
he's also not on social media. You can tell, because you are the most
very different social
you're
media.
The most complimentary person I've seen.
Well, it's my opinion, because as much as I said, and people out there listening, and please turn up your radio, I said negative thoughts against him, but my pluses were. And you can't take away from him. Albany's CV, he was in the title.
There was a caller last night about the Bassey one.
Scottish
said
Cup,
that was
Europa
already
League
set up.
Final.
Yeah.
They lost in penalties. They brought in some decent players. Have they brought in some not so decent players? Yes, I will agree with that.
Too many, though?
Yeah, probably. But I think that somewhere along the line, he takes a bit of credit, Gordon. It's not always been a disaster and failure. Certainly will get the phone calls tonight.
Right, Andy is going to be first through on the line tonight. 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. So let's hear what you've got for us this evening. Andy, what do you make of it, Andy? When you saw that news over the last day or so, Ross Wilson leaving, were you disappointed or happy?
No, how are you doing, guys? I think his time is up. I must admit, I wasn't really impressed by a lot of his signings and things like that. Good luck to him, you know what I mean? But I don't think we really need somebody like him. I think it should be down to the manager to pick the players, you know what I mean? Honestly.
That's an interesting one, that, though, because Andy will be one of tens of thousands of people, I think, who'll have that view. And it's an interesting debate because we flirted with this last night. The only bit that's publicly visible, publicly able for the public to judge, really, is your signings. No one's really going to know what Ross Wilson or any sporting director or director of football does behind the scenes. And we said it's worth bearing in mind, generally they might be in charge of overseeing sports science departments, academy structures, women's team, all sorts of stuff. But the bit that we as fans and pundits and outsiders can judge is the signings. And therefore it's perfectly understandable that Andy says, Don't need a sporting director, just let the manager pick the players. But there's also still a good reason why loads of big clubs have sporting directors.
Well, of course, you're right in highlighting all the other jobs that a sporting director does and isn't visible a lot more than just the players. And even when he does sign the players, I guess managers have a say in that as well. And then it's up to the manager to fit those players into a formation and get the best out of the players. So that's why I feel that they do get a hard deal when players don't work out. It's the sporting director's fault. Isn't it the coach who's working with them every day supposed to be making them better? It's the guy who signed them and spotted their talent elsewhere. So I think that's slightly harsh, but you're right. I mean, maybe, you know, medical team, full structures.
By the way, I get why that doesn't necessarily prove my point, because Rangers fans say, oh well, our injuries are terrible this season, so you can't have overseen that. But you know, Rangers, when they issued their statement, mentioned the sort of big chapters that were ticked off, if you like, the, you know, first league title, Scottish Cup, Europa League, talking about integrating the women's team into a professional setup. But I'd also get the fact in a week like this, there's not that many of our listeners out there who Rangers fans who go, oh well, that's great that the women's team got integrated professionally, because these are, you know, the league table's everything to people, isn't it?
But by the way, if the women's team didn't get up to scratch along with the others,
it would be an embarrassment for a big club.
People would be pointing the finger at the sporting director.
But do you not think also it's a bit of timing after, you know, you lose to Celtic, everybody realises the league's definitely gone, Ross Wilson departs company from Rangers. Certainly it's all going to be negative, of course it is. But when the dust settles, as much as I'm not saying it was the best thing that ever happened to Rangers, I still think there was a lot of boxes that he ticked for Rangers.
How do you rate the signings, Andy? I know it's a tough question when there were so many, but overall?
Nah, there was maybe two or three, but the rest of them, no for me. They're no Rangers players. You know what I mean? No, they weren't good enough. And that's what I was trying to go in last night to make. I was just saying to the producer, I mean, the next two games, we really need to put in big performances to get us right up to the semis and try and get our starting 11 no picked. I mean, it's up to the players now to fight for these next two games. But I agree with Gordon saying they might make a couple of changes, but not a lot. We need to get these 11 players that's going to start for the next two games in the semis, because that's the biggest game of the season we've got now. We need to win it.
Well, I suppose in the context of this season in particular, you could rhyme off the list. You know, I've seen loads getting mentioned, from Janino Bakuna to Aaron Ramsey to whoever else, and then the high-profile ones that did work out that you mentioned earlier on, Gordon. But specifically right now, if you're looking at, you know, players that, when are we going to see them? Do you see them? Yilmaz, Matondo, both healthy transfer fees, both healthy wage from what we're led to believe. So this would be some of the most recent work by a recruitment department overseen by Ross Wilson. Not him solely, but it's these types of things building towards the end of the season that's frustrating the Rangers fans. Is that not fair?
Yeah, and the fact that obviously even the players, Gunnar Goldson, come out and said, look, we stood still, I don't think that helps the profile as well. I think I looked at today and I looked at some of the players that you mentioned, Gordon. I forgot they were even signed, right? They've contributed not a lot to Rangers.
Jack Simpson, etc. These are the ones that don't look great.
Yeah. But you always go for the negatives. But I'm not a Ross Wilson fan by any matter of means.
But doesn't sound like it.
But I've watched his career from Falkirk to Southampton Rangers, now not in a body. But I've got to say, I think that, you know, as much as Rangers fans, a vast majority of them, are glad to see the back of him, I still think that the lad, there was times when he'd done a good job, and I think he's got to be credited for that.
So Andy, run that by me again. When you're talking about the next couple of games and everything becoming about the semi-final. What does that mean? Does that mean you're sticking with that same team from the weekend, and that's the so-called strongest team with the addition of Conor Goldson maybe, and just trying to fine-tune that and hope they get better? Or can, you know, would you make changes? Are you looking at giving other guys a chance to try and improve building up to that game at Hampden?
When I heard Conor Goldson when they're playing against Celtic, the alarm bell started ringing. But no, I think what he needs to do is start with leading up the team, and then give them a half, and if they're not performing the way they perform for these next two games and the semi-finals, give somebody else a chance, because we cannot perform the way we've done against Celtic, especially going up front. We were just so, I mean, so hard, Harley, I think you do. We were so slow and then undecided. So I would really give him a chance and go, let him, look, it's up to you now, boys. You've got a big game coming up in 3 weeks' time. You need to show up. You can play this game, Kamarnock and Aberdeen game.
What do you think? Continuity, you know, going forward. Michael Beale clearly puts a lot. That's his probably strongest team, right? You could argue maybe Fashion Sakala on a certain day
against Celtic.
You know, for instance, can you see that same team taking to the pitch and focusing on those positives that everyone's been mentioning from the weekend and hoping that those fine margins don't go against you? Or are you using the next couple of games to come up with some game plan in between that is going to take all the luck and the mistakes and the fine margins out of the equation?
I think it's a fine balance, because you've got to take into consideration you're wanting to sort of protect from injuries, and that can happen. You can have a game plan in your head for 2 weeks, you know, looking into the Celtic game at Hampden, and that can go up in the air with a couple of injuries, and all of a sudden that's thrown to the side. So you've got to take one game at a time. I think that the strongest 11, I would start them. I would start building towards semi-final against Celtic. I really would, because I think it's important that they've got to try and win that game. Of course it is. It's the biggest game of their season. And it'll be interesting to see what Michael Beale decides to do. Will they bring Colak back in for a couple of games? Put an onus on him to say, look, against Celtic, you look at Kyogo, how sharp he was, gets his two goals. We need guys that are going to go to the end of things. I think everybody agrees that was a massive difference as well last weekend. That the minute the ball fell in that box, you would imagine a Celtic player being sharp has got to put it in the back of the net more often than what a Rangers player at the other end was going to do. So he might look at that, he might switch that about. But I don't think, as I said earlier, I don't think he'll just rip everything up and then say, right, okay, if we'll get by the next two games and then we'll plan for the semi-final. I think the semi-final plans now.
Thank you to Andy for kicking things off. 01419511025. If you're agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard so far, now is the perfect time to share it, and we'll try and get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025 to give us a call, and please do, or you can tweet at Clyde SSB. Let's go straight back to the phones and bring in Nadim, who's a Rangers fan. What's your thoughts on this Ross Wilson business, Nadim?
Hi Duncan, hope you're well. Maybe I'm more of a balanced view on it, similar to Gordon there. I think he's done well in some signings like Bassey, and you know, I think Jermaine Defoe as well was one that he brought in, you know. So I think he has made some good signings. However, the list of bad signings is, you know, is probably double the list of good signings. So yeah, I'm a happy to see him go. If I'm honest, yeah, probably am. The point that I made to producer Gordon was around, I think when I called the other one, said he thinks he doesn't need a sporting director. Now, I wouldn't maybe go as far as that. I think you maybe need a sporting director to run the club, you know, and take the pressure off the manager. But in terms of being in charge of recruitment, I mean, we've seen it at Tottenham, haven't we, at Spurs, where, you know, you've got a sporting director who signs players that he thinks are a good fit for the club, but the manager doesn't agree, you know. And we've seen managers leave, you know, I'm using Tottenham as an example, you know, that they're not getting to sign their own players. So for Michael Beale going forward, surely it's about what players he wants to bring into the club. And if Ross Dawson was still there and if he didn't agree with that, who would have the say? So for me, I would have a sporting director in place, absolutely, but I wouldn't make him head of recruitment or in charge of transfers. I would say that's 100% Michael Beale's job or the manager's job to do that.
I mean, Michael Beale would probably tell you he gets final say anyway, Gordon, won't he? Managers do. But you do also understand where Nadeem's coming from. And we said it last night, there's this elephant in the room that Celtic don't have one, and everyone seems to think that Ange Postecoglou picks all the players himself, which again he probably doesn't do them all himself. I'm sure there's a hard working recruitment and analysis staff that help, but it's fairly obvious that he has major control over that department, and that's got into people's thinking, surely.
When you're a manager of clubs the size of Celtic and Rangers, you need people above Gordon to help you, especially the transfer. You can't do the job yourself, it's too big a job. But the most important thing from that relationship, you've got to be singing off the same hymn sheet. It's as simple as that. The manager and the sporting director have got to sit down, identify targets, and if the targets are there, then it's up to the sporting director to go and deliver those targets. Yes, there's clubs and big clubs throughout Europe. In fact, that you know that they hire a head coach and basically say, we'll bring the players, you coach them and put them onto the pitch. But that's not the situation with Rangers and Celtic in Scotland. So I think that whoever comes into that job at Rangers, I think they've got to have a good understanding and go down the same road as the manager, because that's the only way that can work.
It is recruitment that sort of skews this argument, isn't it, Nadeem? If I'm asking you and your fellow fans to sort of judge the job that Ross Wilson did, everybody just comes back on recruitment, because I said it earlier, that's the thing that's visible, it's the thing that people can judge. For instance, the chairman... from the statement, sorry, from Rangers chairman John Bennett, said that Ross Wilson's legacy will be improvements to the training ground and the women's team. But for lots of fans, that stuff that's, no disrespect to the women's team, but that stuff that's a bit more in the background, isn't it? And that's maybe why signings are the bit that people judge.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on there, Gordon, and that's why I'm saying that, you know, I think that there is an absolute role for a sporting director to run the other parts of the club that maybe the manager, you know, shouldn't get involved in. So maybe it's just about the first team for him. So I think in terms of the training ground and the women's team, because the women's team has done brilliant over the last, you know, few seasons. So absolutely, that's what I'm saying. Whether a balanced view, he's definitely done some positive things. Even in the recruitment, you know, he's signed a few good players. But overall, it should be down to the manager, in my view, if we ever decide who he wants to bring. So if Ross Wilson or any sporting director wants to get involved in the club, absolutely get involved in the rest of the club, but not the recruitment side.
Yeah, and I just wonder what it looks like. We'll get the chance, Mark, to speak to Michael Beale tomorrow in terms of right now, you know, the sort of current players that are being looked at, being pursued in the summer. I'm absolutely certain he'll say that this doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
You know, that things are either in place or can be put in place. I'm certain that's what he'll say. And you would take him at face value on it. But it is interesting to know just how that does impact the next couple of months.
Because it is an important time for Rangers. They're trying to strengthen. They're trying to give Michael Beale the best opportunity to catch Celtic. Now, he's already had one window, and you can maybe cut him a wee bit of slack because he was just in the door at that time, but he's constantly spoke about what he's got his eye on this summer. Now, the job of a sporting director is to take that advice from the manager and put it into practice. How does he get those targets? How does he get those players? It'll be him that contacts other clubs and does the negotiating, not the manager, because Michael Beale, remember, will be on the training ground constantly. Modern day managers probably don't have the time to do the things that the managers 10, 20 years ago did. It was a simpler time then. Contract negotiations are much more complicated, and that's where Ross Wilson would have come into things. So for that role to be vacant at this minute, I think it is a blow for Rangers. I think they need to get someone in place sharpish, whether it's the same title or someone doing a similar job. I think they need someone pretty soon.
Yeah, and the role could change. It's interesting. Michael Beale's actually spoken to Rangers TV in the not too distant past, speaking about Ross Wilson and the jobs that he did. And he mentioned first team footballing operations, recruitment, medical academy, the things that we sort of predicted earlier on. But apparently he's going to Nottingham Forest for an even more wide ranging role, whatever that may be. So I don't know what that would include. So it does show you that each club will have their own set of sort of criteria, if you like, or roles and responsibilities for someone in that position.
There's more to that job than just signing players, but the supporters aren't interested in how the developments at the training club, Gordon, and different things that he's implemented into obviously Hawke and Howie or Ibrox or whatever. They're interested the quality of player that comes on the pitch and what they perform.
Got to remember Ross Wilson's role in this as well. He didn't have to go. If he thought I'm doing a good job and I can see real progress in what I'm doing, everything's, I'm with Michael Beale here, I can stay put.
Yeah.
He obviously thought.
Is that not the point, Nadeem, though, that Mark's on there? The timing just seemed right. If you're Ross Wilson, whether you think you've done a great job or not, you rock up at Fir Park and you see the full away end with a banners with a red cross through your face, you might start to think it could be time to just move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably been a factor in his decision. I think absolutely, because obviously the kind of ground scale was in the fans was getting bigger and bigger in terms of wanting to go. Not just him, remember, there's other board members as well that would like to go. So I think that did have an impact, and maybe this opportunity's come up and he thought it's too good to turn down. But, you know, he's not only got a bigger club than Rangers, you know, so he's gone down to Nottingham Forest, who are nowhere near as big as Rangers. So, he's, you know, in my view, he's probably been down to it. He'll have a bigger budget, absolutely. Well, of course he'll have that, but, you know, he'll never have, you know, the many fans or the passion that you know, Rangers fans have got for the club than anywhere else has got. So yeah, he's moved on. And I think Rangers need to move on. I don't really agree with what Martin said there, Gordon, about it being a bad time. I think maybe it'd been a bad time if a transfer window was open and then he couldn't then make signings, because obviously, you know, if no one's there to help him. But if that's the case, just now, you know, so I think we'll be okay. I think we'll get someone in who'll hopefully do a better job than Michael Beale, and we'll move than Ross Wilson, and we'll move on.
It's funny how we live in different times. If anyone, say you weren't really keeping a close eye on who these people were and you tuned in, you would think Ross Wilson was a player, wouldn't you? Talking about him, you know, he'll never have a fan base as passionate as Rangers, and never as big a club we are. And last night it was like transfer news, but I suppose that's modern football and the structures. And again, look, from his point of view, yeah, he won't have the same size of crowd or whatever, but he is then going to operate at a sort of management level in the English Premier League. So
yeah, and he's going to a club with great history, European Cup winners, all that. I think that the icing on the cake for him must have been Fir Park sitting there, Gordon. Opportunity comes in, you go down to English Premier League. Whether they'll stay in the English Premier League is another debate, but also I think his salary would have been a bit more going down south as well. So for Ross Wilson, I think the time is absolutely perfect for him.
Just out of curiosity, because we're talking about different clubs having different roles and responsibilities, when you were director of football at Airdrie, yeah, and he was the manager, what were your roles and responsibilities? sausage rolls, bacon rolls.
Because he was never at that cafe, I'll tell you that right now. And when he left, the Airdrie fans done the conga down Airdrie Main Street.
What were you talking about? I overseen everything in that club, let me tell you now.
Apart from games and training and
I just didn't like the Saturday
stuff.
Part, but I overseen Monday to Friday. It ticked along there brilliantly. Organised.
Profits in the cafe have went down dramatically.
Everything went
since
downhill.
You left.
He couldn't even go to Alloa and get a result. Alloa.
What does the. Well.
Oh, but come on. You want a result for promotion? I sent him along.
Lost in penalties, did they not?
I know, but
thanks, Gordon.
Biggest regret, I should have taken the weekend off.
Were you there? You weren't even there for the
weekend. Listen, the people in Super Scoreboard need me. My fans are out there.
Nadeem,
they want me.
I'll turn their mics off because they're starting to annoy me. What does this immediate future look like then? Sort of, you know, post Saturday, where there's so much talk about Rangers being better and good signs and positives, and then other people pointing out, well, ultimately still, you know, lost again, 12 points, league probably over. What does this weekend and the immediate future look like? What are the priorities?
Yeah, I mean, priorities are obviously to win this weekend, and also, I mean, a big game for me is the end of the month against Celtic, the final, you know, so got to win that, Gordon, you absolutely got to win that. You got to stop them getting the treble. To me, that's the utmost importance. And for me, I mean, I was, you know, I think it's well too early to have any big misgivings about Michael Beale's reign so far, but, you know, if we don't beat them at the end of the month, that'll be three times he's played them and not been able to beat them. I think it's three times anyway, and not be able to beat them. So that to me would start to worry me slightly if you can't get a measure of them, because I think in terms of a gap, as you say, there's a gap, clearly there's a gap, the league table shows that, but I don't think it's that big a gap that you know, he can't mount that gap. So I think we should be aiming to beat them at the end of the season, at the end of this month, and just go stronger and stronger. Hopefully, I mean, for me, Gordon, the league was gone before you know, the old fun game a couple of weeks ago there. 9 points, it was, for me, was too much. 12 points, obviously, it's 100% gone for me now. So stuff. I wouldn't focus on that. It's all about the cup run for me now, and just keep going strength to strength and rebuilding the summer.
It was an interesting time though. It was just last week we spoke about Douglas Park stepping down. Now Ross Wilson's is obviously a role that's much more hands on, involved in the day to day running of the football club. So maybe that's one that's actually even more impactful, Gordon. But there's still there is a level of disconnect there, clearly. Some of the communication, I'm looking through Twitter, and I always caveat this by saying I know Twitter's extreme, right? It's a bit of a mad place at times. But that interview that Michael Beale's just given to Rangers TV, all the Rangers fans replying to it are just saying, why is Michael Beale on talking about Ross Wilson? Why is he not the chairman? Why is the first team manager on to talk about the departing sporting director? Where's the new chairman? When are we going to hear from him? So it does still feel like there's change happening. Douglas Park, Ross Wilson. But for some people, maybe not quick enough. And I know we're an impatient bunch.
I think Rangers are in a situation, Gordon. They want to get to the end of the season, and then they've got to sit down and regroup and put the structure of the club going forward in place. I'm not surprised that Michael Beale's come out there, because Michael Beale worked very closely with Ross Wilson since he's come into the club. In January, they must have got together to bring in the
Sure, but I do get where these fans are coming from, and there are loads, by the way.
Yeah, you want somebody to lead from the front.
It's Michael Beale, in a sense, works under Ross Wilson. You want the guys that work above Ross Wilson, who appointed him and who will be in charge of appointing his successor. They're the real authority on it. First team manager is always wheeled out as a sort of club spokesman, when actually that's not always the case, surely.
Well, as you say, there's reaction come from Rangers supporters that want people from above to come out and lead by example and tell the supporters. We've had this with Rangers supporters before, that the one thing they didn't like about the club was they didn't get the information that they were looking for as supporters of the club. I think that when Michael Beale came in, it was very quickly realised that he came out in his interviews and basically told the Rangers supporters everything they wanted to hear. And I think the Rangers supporters like Michael Beale for that. He's honesty and straightforward talking. And they're probably just sitting now thinking, right, going forward, we want to hear from above how we're going to take this club forward.
And it might be entirely unfair. There might be grand plans for John Bennett to do a 3-hour Q&A with 10,000 Rangers fans. I've no idea, Mark Wilson, but there is that level of impatience. It's now, it's this week, it's after after the weekend result just plays a part, and everyone's thinking, as I mentioned, Douglas Park, Ross Wilson. So you can understand where they're coming from.
Well, particularly when there's a huge game coming up in a couple of weeks' time against Celtic, a make or break for your season game, that you deal with this stuff instantly when it's here. You don't want it dragging on. You don't want fans on Twitter saying there's a disconnect and why is this not happening. You want to tick everything off this week, get it in the back burner and move on. But Rangers have struggled in the past with this sort of stuff, more behind the scenes stuff than on the field stuff. So critical time. I don't agree with Nadeem saying, oh, it's not a critical time, because we're not in a transfer window. Lots of transfers and lots of business get done before the window kicks into play. So from now until July is a crucial time for whoever's in that role at Rangers.
You can agree to disagree. Thank you, Nadeem. 01419511025. Now, I've been mentioning this every night this week, so hopefully you've had the chance to check it out. But if not, if you're looking still for a family-friendly fun day out, why not check out the point-to-point family day at Overton Racecourse? You were talking about, you could take your granddaughter up there, surely.
We get tickets?
Well, look, put your hand in your pocket for once. Treat your granddaughter.
If you're going to advertise through me, you have to. You know what I mean? We're part of this team. If you're listening,
we've seen it the other day. Remember I was asking, we've seen it the other day.
I never seen it.
It's down where you play golf.
Anyway, right, enough from you two. Now the racing kicks off. It's got pony races, high octane point to point races, fun for all the family. Under 16s go free. There's a lot to do. You'll have a good day out, so you can grab your tickets from the Overton Racecourse Facebook page or head to Clyde1.com, and you can even enter to win a family hospitality pass as well. Good time to call. We'll try and get you on next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. So get in touch. It'd be nice to talk football with you tonight. Whatever it is that's on your mind, this is the place to share it. So on that front, let's go to Wisher, where Jack is. What have you got for us, Jack?
Hi mate, how you doing, lad? How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Let's see your opinion. I think being a Celtic fan, obviously, try to take a biased point of view out of it. I think Celtic are going to charge on and get the next three games under belt and win the title. But I think Celtic will do the treble this year. Just try to think if I think big offers are going to come in next season for Jota and Thiago. So see if you think Celtic will be able to even keep the two players if the big bids do come in.
Love it when this happens, because if I suggest that Celtic might not hold on to Kyogo or Jota, then I get slaughtered for trying to move them on. So it's great that when a fan of that club floats the topic. Is that a realistic concern?
Yeah, I would also throw
both equally, or one more than the other, or
I'd probably throw a Hatate into that equation as well.
Selling the full team.
Yeah, the lot. Postecoglou, boom, team bus, drop them off in England, down the M6, turn left. But I think the most important thing is it's a compliment. You know, Kyogo, he'll come on the radar, of course, with the goals he's scoring. Jota is a terrific talent. Hatate, I think most of us would probably vote him player of the year this year. He's been absolutely sensational. So when you're playing at that level and you're playing as well as these guys are playing, yeah, of course there are people sitting at Celtic Park and away grounds watching them, monitoring them, going back with reports to big clubs. It's whether two things. Can they meet the price that Celtic want? Does the player want to leave Celtic? That's another thing. It's not just all, a team's in for them, it's big money, then on you go. It's up to the player as well. So there's a lot to be done. I'm sure, like Ange Postecoglou, for the Celtic fans, they're trying to build something. They want to keep their best players, but sometimes money's too good.
It's interesting, Mark, because you talk usually, we know that if our players here can score in the Champions League, it's like the number one thing. Or if they can perform well in the Champions League, that's where you really catch the eye. If you can't quite do that, then you're going to have to do it in the Rangers games. So Kyogo has absolutely ticked that box. And I know Celtic were on the receiving end of some defeats, but you would say Hatate in game had good Champions League performances. Interesting, because they're all you can't broad brush them. Kyogo's 28, right? Which is it's mad how you think that's like an old ancient man in football terms. Of course it's not, right? But do you know what I mean? If there is a big move at some point for Kyogo, then it's not got forever. That's slightly different with Jota, who's 24, and Hatate, who's 25.
Yeah, age does come into it. There's two sides to it. With Kyogo, he's 28. We were chatting about him the other night, saying, is he the best striker since Henrik Larsson? Remember when Henrik Larsson moved from Celtic and what he did after his career, or whatever age he was then? So it can be done. I'm not quite sure about Kyogo getting a big money move to England. Maybe a different league. There's just something that I think the top teams in England wouldn't take the chance on spending 20 or 25 million on. I don't know what it is. Hatate is another question.
So is he better than Edward?
Funny enough, yeah. I think Kyogo brings you more than Edward. But
can't get the big money move to England.
But physicality is such a big part of what the English clubs go for. And is it right? No, probably not, because you know, we've seen many players small in stature that are unbelievably talented and can fit in any team. But I don't know, it's just my feeling about Kyogo. But Hatate's a different specimen. Hatate, the way he controls games, the way he performed in the Champions League, how physical he is, many strings to his game. I think he would attract interest this summer.
Are you able to feel relaxed about it though, Jack? Because Gordon mentioned something about building and keeping players together, but actually Ange Postecoglou said publicly it's the opposite for him in Celtic. He's talked many times about being agile and acting quickly, and they did. Juranovic, fans' favourite, very good. On you go. Alistair Johnson might be better. Giakoumakis, top scorer for Celtic in the league last season. Off you go. Bring Owen, and this just regenerates very quickly. I know it's maybe harder to imagine because those are three, you know, proper stalwarts of the team. But does it allow you to feel relaxed that if that does happen, it won't be a disaster?
See, I know, well, obviously, he's always going to try and upgrade the team, no matter doing anything he can do. He's always going to want to bring in the players, and he will know himself that the bids are going to come in for the players. But I don't know, who do you think is more likely to go between the two of them? I think Jota is more likely to get an English club coming in for him. But again, obviously, you don't want any of the players to go. But I think Postecoglou will have an idea of who he'll be wanting to bring in if the end of the two players are
It is a good question, yeah. Because who's the best player is not the same question as who's got the highest ceiling, if you like, or who's most desirable to other clubs. It's just not, for a number of reasons.
I did hear today from a good source that Ross Wilson at Nottingham Forest was going to sign three of them.
So I've quite enjoyed that, because I've seen Rangers fans as well saying, as a parting gift, any chance of signing, sorry if you're listening, John, you know, John Lundstrom for 15 million or whatever.
Look, time will only tell. But I think you were spot on when you said, I don't think it phases the manager. The manager knows his players are top quality. He knows that, look, if you want to go and you don't want to be a part of what I'm doing here and you see the bigger picture, then fine, I'll get someone in. And he usually performs, because his transfer markets have been brilliant. I think that's a great strength that Ange Postecoglou's got as a football manager. So he'll be confident he can replace him. Jota's a fan's favourite. I think that for me, out them all, if I was a scout, I would be certainly looking at Hatate. I think he's a terrific talent.
You think he's the most desirable,
yeah,
if you like?
100% for me.
You?
Same with me, yeah. And it's a mystery still how his international career's not taken off. And I can only assume when that does, and it will happen, that's when big interest will come. Japan's always on the world stage, aren't they? And big tournaments. That could just be the missing piece of the jigsaw. But Jota, I mean, Jack's right with Jota. Jota is desirable because he's an entertainer. Week in, week out, that's what fans pay to see, to be entertained.
Did he have a better season last season than he did this season?
Aye, without doubt he did. But it's been a wee bit start-stop, but he's still had some fantastic moments this season, scored some big goals. First game of the season, was it? He scored an absolute bit. Was that the first game down at Rugby Park? Scored an absolute screamer. I was at home. Wasn't it?
What's happening?
Against Aberdeen. Just, scored the screamer.
No, he scored the screamer. Wasn't at Rugby Park as well.
Aye. So, what are you saying?
Just you. No, I must have a bit of courage of your own convictions.
Yeah, exactly. Confidence in yourself. Don't look at me all the time for approval.
I know. Why are you
looking at me? I'm nodding my head if they say I know what I'm saying.
Okay. That was the end of the point. Let's go.
Great. Jack, the Celtic team certainly doesn't give off the impression that they'll ever take their foot off the gas. Is that going to be the way it is now? There's no complacency going to creep in now that everyone knows the league's done, is there?
No, I think the league's done. I think Celtic are just going to charge on. I'm sure it has the three games they need now to secure the title. But let's face it, guys, the league's done. The league's done. And I think they're just going to be looking forward to the semi-final. I know Rangers are going to come out fighting, but I think Celtic will just put it to bed and get the treble.
Yeah, there becomes a point where that just stops being controversial. You know, there's a point in the season where somebody comes on and goes, I'm telling you, the league's done. And then the lines light up with people saying, how dare you, we still need to play them X amount of times. People go full Kevin Keegan on you. But it's sort of tumbleweed. I haven't met anyone who disagrees. Even by our crazy standards on this show, I think that's...
Yeah,
unanimous, isn't it?
I don't think anybody will come on with an argument. Everybody does know. I thought it was done last weekend, even if Rangers had to win. But with Celtic picking up the 3 points, the goal difference is sitting there. It's what, 29 goals as well. That's another point. So absolutely no chance. This Celtic team, it's a case of when they're going to win it.
I think was it 2009? Something like that. We were behind Rangers. Now, I can't remember the points gap, but it was deemed incredibly difficult for us to win it, but we had two games against Rangers, or three was it, in a short space of time, and we managed to come out and top. We won the league at Tannadice, and that was deemed, you know, an unbelievable achievement. However, it wasn't quite what this Celtic team are consistently, and the games are just running out. I think it was about 7-8 games to go. But the big game was the weekend. Now, it probably was done before, but if Rangers took it to 6 points with a game at Ibrox to come, then there might have still been questions, but no doubt about it. Done now.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Thank you to Jack. It's Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. If you want to come on here and show that you have superior football knowledge to Mark Wilson or Gordon Dalziel, which shouldn't be hard, you have to get your call in before 7 o'clock. How was the form this week? Who played on Tuesday?
Mark,
you
had
a nightmare on Tuesday. Absolutely hopeless. So hopefully that continues for you listeners. But get your call in before 7 and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here, and it's 01419511025. 102.5. If you're just joining us, you've missed a bit of discussion, debate about the departure of Ross Wilson. Looking back, whether it was a good job done, a bad job done, and what happens next. Do you Rangers fans want to fill that position like for like? Would you like a different structure? Would you like the removal of a sporting director altogether? Give us your thoughts. We even had a call from a, I wouldn't say concerned Celtic fan before the break, but just floating the idea that maybe some of the performances from fan favourites have attracted interest from elsewhere this season. And still loads to get through. Hearts has just been really interesting stuff all week. And Stephen Naismith spoke for the first time today. Said it was easier for him, for Robert Snodgrass, to not be part of it anymore going forward. Said third place isn't the be-all and end-all, which is maybe a little bit different to what Chief Executive Andrew McKinley said earlier in the week. We're still getting your reaction, if you fancy, on the six-game ban given to Craig McPherson for the headbutt in the Women's Old Firm game as well. And we're edging closer to the weekend, so lots to come. But first of all, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
5-3 win for Simon Donnelly last night. He's like the master of the scrappy victory usually. It's not often he puts five on the board. So let's see what we've got tonight.
Politely, I say
it must be three rubbish victories in a row there. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I can barely class his as a victory.
Ridiculous.
Well, you better, because it was a victory.
It was a tiebreaker. It was awful.
It was a victory.
Anyway, right. Tony is an Aberdeen fan on the line. How are you, Tony?
Good evening, panel. How are you doing?
Tony, did you just sit in silence for a few months and wait for Aberdeen to get good again and then pick up the phone?
Well, I've crawled out from under my rock again. I am feeling a very happy man.
Now, now you're getting the passport looked out for this guaranteed group stage football that you might well...
It's getting polished off, aye.
Unbelievable. Honestly, what a turnaround. Anyway, Stephen Naismith might have other ideas. I saw Lee Johnson saying they, you know, it's still possible they could go in as well. So, been interesting into the season. But not as interesting as this on Beat the Pundit. If it's heads, it will be Mark Wilson. And if it's tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. And it is tails. It's your good self. Are you ready?
Unlucky, Tony. You're up against the master.
Oh, I've seen you score back in the day as well, pal.
Yeah, oh, Tony, I hope you got a ball.
Black and white, VHS.
Terrific goal.
Betamax is the only place you can see that stuff now. I feel like you've not played in a while.
Last week. Terrific victory. People are frightened of me.
I take it back. Right, here's the deal, Tony. I will give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to, so that he can't hear what's going on in here. I'll give you 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yeah.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds starts now. How many Old Firm games have Celtic won this season?
Three.
Who was the last Rangers captain, club captain from outside of the UK?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership side's mascot is Captain Conker?
Pass.
Name any SPFL player from outside the Premiership who's got more than 15 league goals this season.
Bojan Miloskis.
Which other Scottish side has Liam Boyce played for apart from Hearts?
Motherwell.
Who was the last sponsor of the Scottish League Cup before Viaplay?
BetSports.
I must admit, I feel like Chris just gets to a point in the week where he just decides to make them hard. You notice that?
Some of them are impossible.
He's ridiculous.
What is that? It's like he gets fed up as the week goes along. He hasn't a clue. Makes them hard.
He hasn't a clue. Get him on George Bowie.
They're tough, aren't they?
Get him on.
Get him on George the morning show. Whatever it is.
5k minute is what you're looking
minute
for.
Exactly. Ridiculous.
Not £1 to leave this studio if he's on the 5k minute. Aye.
Anyway, hard. I hope you're ready.
I'm right on it. Come on.
Let's go. How many Old Firm games have Celtic won this season?
Two.
Name the last Rangers club captain from outside the UK.
Pat.
Which Scottish Premiership side's mascot is Captain Conker?
Livingston.
Name any SPFL player from outside the Premiership who's got more than 15 league goals this season.
Premiership player, right? Pat.
Which other Scottish club has Liam Boyce played for apart from Hearts?
Ross County.
Who was the last sponsor of the League Cup before Viaplay?
Tennis. On the TV.
Wrong cup in about 15 years out. But apart from that, you are on it the night you said this. Tony, how do you
tell
feel?
Tell me you've won, Tony.
It'll be the best of a bad bunch, I tell you, because
I was not vintage. I
was all over the place.
Stage.
I think Boyce done me perfectly there. And I was on a duck's egg.
How many Old Firm games have Celtic won this season? That is three, an easy start. Three. Tony's an Aberdeen fan, and he knew
three,
that. For
I forgot
sake.
About the 4-0.
Three. So it's 1-0 to Tony. But these were tough. I mean, to under time pressure, to remember that the last Rangers club captain from outside the UK is Carlos Bocanegra.
I was going to say that.
No,
I
no,
honestly
you
was going to say that.
Just wasting everybody's time.
Did I get a point?
Which Scottish Premiership side's mascot is Captain Conker? This news must have passed me by because apparently
Kelly,
he replaced
like squirrel.
He replaced Nuts the Squirrel has been replaced by Captain Conker.
Aye,
hey,
the squirrels
how
like Conker.
Get that job?
You got to piece together the clues. Squirrels, Conkers.
Yeah, see him on it. I detest that boy.
Who?
Him? Not Chris.
Well, oh, you can't just point. No, this is radio. People
I know.
Are listening.
Hey. Who's supposed to know? See if Tony knows that. I'll go to Aberdeen tonight myself.
Mark,
deliver
to be fair, Mark, I knew if it. You put it together, Conkers, hey, Squirrels, Commandments.
Well, that work at the old right. Safari
Hold
Park.
Hold on
yeah.
a minute.
Coming back
th-
now.
Exactly. I've got 30 seconds to sit and go, right, let me work this one
did
out.
You see, did you see you made the paper
no.
the other day as well with that story?
For what?
I might have just been online, but I saw the Scottish Sun headline, Celtic ace reveals time he spent days at Safari Park.
Come on, forget about him. I'm one down.
A nice lady asked me the next day how I was.
These are hard.
So it's still 1-0, which is ridiculous.
Boys, you saved me a 1-1 here.
Any SPFL player from right. outside the Premiership, Tony gave me Miovsky. You panicked. So who are the lower league goal getters this season? If Roger
Hanna, can you hear me?
Absolutely. He's getting 19.
See, I didn't understand the question.
Is that supposed to be
my fault? I keep telling you,
or?
You've got to do it a little bit better. That was mixed up. That was mixed. See,
go
you
now,
explained it. Not anybody in
so
the top
can
league.
Can do better?
Most goals. Akinyemi, so there you go. I'd have been boom, boom,
my
boom.
Crime is that I'm not on your wavelength.
Yeah.
Because not many people are, so you're not getting off with that. 1-0
oh,
at this
is
stage.
Good. Dreadful.
Liam Boyce.
Get in there. This is where I come back.
Do you know Tony's
still got it? Chance. Oh no, hold on a minute. He's for up there, isn't he?
What do you mean up there? Dingwall Aberdeen.
Well, it's just in the map. It's only across the road.
Oh, people from the northern Scotland hating you.
Dingwall's up the way.
Tony said Motherwell.
Oh,
it's an equaliser.
You have saved me, Tony.
1-1. Which all comes down to the last question. Was Tennent's the last sponsor?
Was it not?
Of the League Cup. And I feel
League Cup. I went Scottish Cup.
I feel like Tony hit the bar. He said Bet Sports, which I
Betfred.
I'd love
Betfred.
No, it was Premier Sports. Premier. So it was a combination.
Oh no, Tony.
Tony, how do you think I feel? I get paid for this.
Exactly, Tony. Right, we're going to go to the tiebreaker.
Right, come on,
so,
Tony.
I'm going to read the
Should
question,
I win
Tony.
This one.
I'll get Gordon to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt. Okay.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Don't make it a hardy.
Oh, my goodness, right. You're not good at much on here, no offence.
I'm getting constructive feedback for you there.
But
Duncan.
If I was to pick one branch of quizzing that you can't handle,
it's no geography.
No, it's even worse, it's percentages.
Right? 100. I'm going 100, Tony.
To the nearest percent, what percentage of all Scottish Cup finals have been won by Celtic and Rangers? To the nearest percent, what percentage of all Scottish Cup
Remember
finals
it only goes up
have
to 100.
Been won by Celtic and Rangers? Show me your paper. Okay, Tony, what are you going?
55.
No, he's not had it in the...
Tony has got it on the nose. It's 55.
No!
Tony,
outstanding.
How did you know that, Tony?
It was a rough guess.
No.
Tony was well excited there.
Tony, did you say something there?
Hold on, right, we've got a problem.
Because if
hands.
You did, you're banned.
We've got a real problem on our hands. Because
dump
Tony,
him, dump
this
him,
has
quick.
Never happened before. Tony's just apologised for bad language that I didn't hear. I need to be honest. So Ofcom, if you're listening, I'm sorry. We're sorry.
What did you say, Tony? Say it again and then we'll
dump you. Dump him.
Did you hear it?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
A ridiculous
Tony. I need you to back me here. Did you hear it?
No, I hadn't a clue.
Did you hear
Certainly
it?
Not.
Right. Well, apologise to anyone who heard it.
To be fair, it wasn't you, Tony, it was me. No, I'm
55,
kidding.
55, that's outstanding.
Tony,
that's amazing.
Do you know something? I'm glad for you tonight.
You said 64. By your I thought that was...
I was all right,
might have
it?
Been enough.
I would have went higher than that. Aye, I would have been well out of it.
No, it's... Celtic have won 40, Rangers won 34, and there have been 137 finals. for anyone who wants to crunch the numbers. So.
How can I'm delighted for Tony because he obviously remembered a few of my goals. He's a big fan, and I like to give balls out to big fans.
And then he went and swore on apparently in his celebration. But listen, we'll delete it from the podcast and hope for the best. Thank you to Tony, who was an Aberdeen fan on the line. He's actually waited for Aberdeen to get good. He admitted it. Came on, raised his head, and even got a victory.
They're not even good. See, beat the pundits a bit of fun, a bit of nice questions, a couple of easy ones, a couple of hard ones. This guy hasn't a clue what he's doing.
They were tough questions tonight, I must admit. Yep.
Comes in here with somebody like a base out of rollers with a tart and everything on. He has no idea what he's doing.
Speaking of...
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of musical acts from a bygone era and dressing appropriately to go and see them. You like this seamless transition here?
Yeah, I love it.
Mark Wilson.
He is looking a bit sharp tonight.
There must be a reason that you've gone for
looking sharp.
Black polo neck with grey jacket because it's about 45 degrees in here.
A bit hot.
You've had a haircut, you've got extra gel on, and you've got a black polo neck on. Where are you going?
Big gig on at the old Royal Concert Hall.
Okay.
The old Matt Goss from Bros. I'm just taking that in the night.
How old are you?
That's how.
Bros, you're good.
38.
I always say that you and I are of a similar generation, and it's this guy that's the old timer, right? So I'm only a couple of years younger than you, and I can tell you for sure I ain't going to see.
Would you
my
not
gosh.
Go and see Bros?
No, absolutely.
Well, I was
not
more a fan of him in Strictly Come Dancing. Thank you.
What is wrong with this guy?
I would go and see
exactly,
that.
Exactly, but you're old enough to be his dad.
But I wouldn't dress like that.
Yeah, I think they were big in 80s. You wouldn't dress. You wish you could dress like this.
No, I wouldn't dress like
but
that.
But the worst thing is I'm missing half the show.
To be here.
I thought, like any other act, he would come on at, you know, you go to the Hydro and they come on
Nathan
at like 10
Carter
to 9 or
that.
9 o'clock. So you get the start. So it's coming on at half 7.
That's because it's for old people. He's on at 6.
He has to be in bed at half 10. He's got a bubble bath around at 10 o'clock.
I know, I'm missing it. Aye, for the love of the show.
How good's that going to be though? So for the other people who are there, they're going to see him shuffling in with his polo neck on.
Oh, yeah. Front row seats as well.
Are you in the front row? Of course, yeah. Celtic's Mark Wilson straight to the front.
Hey, there'll be Shalai here, Janet. Have a look at this one coming in. He thinks he's a ticket. Let's stay. Celtics, Matt Wilson.
You actually had some very interesting feedback from the show the other night, right? Someone tweeted me, and I've heard this a couple of times, but I really wish people wouldn't do it because it's so disturbing. So I got a tweet from Paul, who said he decided to listen to last night's show on the podcast. It's obviously up there every night on the podcast, at half the speed. Right, you can slow your podcasts right down, or you can speed them up. Actually, sometimes speed them up a bit. You get through them a bit quicker, obviously. But you don't want to speed them up so much that you can't understand what's being said. So do you remember we had the discussion the other night about you getting trapped at Dumbarton Stadium?
Yeah, claustrophobic.
Exactly, that's the key word here. And we spoke about that on Tuesday night. So for whatever reason, Paul, in his spare time, listens to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast slowed down.
I don't know.
He sent me the clip, and it is quite spectacular, right? I'll just play it back to you because you'll never have heard yourself in this way before.
That should be a forfeit of the point,
and the weight has to go
for poor groundskeeping.
I'll never get near that ground as long as I'm on this earth. Never.
Because you got locked in.
I get locked in, claustrophobic.
It's amazing.
It's the claustrophobic.
Do you know, so I actually sound no bad.
By the way, I've heard you like that a few times before.
Usually at
4 in the morning.
That's
brilliant.
Me a taxi.
He's surely not listening to the full show.
I thought it would take him four hours if he does.
There's some sad people out there, aren't they, when they're doing that.
Well, thank you, Paul, for bringing a bit of comic relief to a sometimes serious business. Anyway, we're going to speak to Frankie and Kerlouk next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DLR here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to get in touch, you two, you'll get your teaser in a minute, because I took that break nice and early because Frankie had been hanging on the line. So you're not losing any time, don't you worry. Let's bring in Frankie and get his thoughts tonight. Hi, Frankie.
Hi, how you doing, panel?
I'm good, how are you?
Oh yeah, fine, thanks.
Good,
thanks,
man, good. What's your point tonight?
My point, I think, tonight is the fact that what did the panel think of the deemed result of the Craig McPherson sort of a ban as such? You know, you're talking, this is a man who, you know, and I've nothing personally against him, can obviously promise you that, but playing football myself personally, you would look and think, you know, this is a game, and the women's football took off so well. It's done brilliant. It's really going so far. And then for this character to do this, when there's kids as well involved in this, I just think, you know, a six-game ban. My God, you know, I remember years ago when I played football, and I'm an old fella now, have you ever touched an official? You get sin died. You know, it's an old-fashioned saying. In other words, you never kick the ball again.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know exactly what Frankie's discussing, it's the Rangers women's coach Craig McPherson. You'll all certainly remember the incident, I think, but he's been given a 6-match ban over his headbutt on Fran Alonso, the Celtic head coach. Remember, it was the 1-1 draw at Broadwood, the women's Old Firm game. He admitted the charge of violent conduct at a disciplinary hearing with Scottish FA today. And so Frankie's point, in a nutshell, Mark, is 6 games isn't enough. What are your thoughts?
Look, it's a tough one to call in terms of the length of ban it should be, just because it was so out of the ordinary that we don't see it that often. But should he be cancelled forever and not get to work again? No, I don't agree with that. I mean, the cancel culture nowadays is absolutely shocking for everything, and I don't believe that.
Right, this show's taking a bit of a different turn.
Get me on a new show.
One night away to see whatever 80s act is.
My gosh, never forget my gosh.
Anyway,
but so. Is Frankie suggesting that in his day he would never have been involved in football again? I don't believe that's the case either. So 6 games, I think, see if there was no remorse over it and he didn't come out and he unreservedly apologised, took a few days, right enough, but he still did, then I think it might have been slightly different. But he's apologised, It's wrong, wasn't a good look, and they've deemed 6 games enough. I don't know how they get to that, but
I mean, what's an appropriate number, Frankie? I'm a bit like Mark. I'm not, because it doesn't happen all the time, that I've loads to compare it to. I don't really know what your thoughts would be. What's an appropriate number?
I don't even think an appropriate number comes to mind. I mean, just old school. I'm old school, obviously. So, I mean, God, you mean, you touch somebody, you know, like on the sidelines. I mean, I happened in the football park. I happened all the time in the football park, you know. And then you took your stuff up the tunnel and you sorted the stuff out the tunnel.
Well, exactly. I feel like old school, I feel I've got that back to front, because if anything, that would, you know, would be let fly a bit more,
of course,
you would imagine.
It's the opposite.
Difficult one, Gordon, because everything Frankie says is right. You know, you're talking about the optics of it. It's, you know, what it, the image it portrayed for the women's game in a first match ever live on, a first league match live on Sky Sports. Loads of families in attendance. Even the sort of the manner of it, you know, in terms of coming up behind them, you know, it was an awful look. But if a player did it on the pitch, if a player did that to another player on the pitch, they wouldn't be banned forever. You know, they just wouldn't. So I don't know if it's different. I don't know if you can equate those two. Frankie doesn't think 6 games is enough. Have you got any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a bit old school as well, but I'm not going down the road of Frankie by saying, look, he shouldn't work again. We don't want to see it, of course we don't. I'm sure, and I think Mark makes a good point, I think Craig McPherson apologised to the Celtic manager. I think he accepted that, Gordon. I think they had a good chat about it. Yes, you can say out of character, but it doesn't matter. You still shouldn't be doing that sort of behaviour at the end of a football game or on a football pitch. As you say, there's people there, an audience, young kids at the game taking in probably their first game bit experience. You've got to lead by example. But they seem fitting that they've punished him with 6 games. I'm with you. Is it 6? Is it 8? Is it 10? Whatever it may be, it's been done. It's been dealt with. And I think Craig McPherson has got to realise now that that's a mistake he'll never ever make again. And we've all made mistakes in life, let's be honest about it. But he'll have to dust himself down now and move on.
I mean, what did Mitrovic get for the grabbing the ref? 8?
Was it to get 8? Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago,
the linesman with Andy Robertson, the assistant ref, should I say, with Andy Robertson, it's still being investigated. What does he get?
I struggle with these because, I mean, they're not the same. We're just tenuously grasping for other players that have been banned for something recently. It was 8 games. So people might want to say is this worse? Should it have been 8? Should it have been more? It just feels, it feels difficult, Mark, to narrow it down to a very specific number. I don't know, it's a totally personal thing. Are there people out there who think, oh, 6 is not enough, that's a disgrace, but 8 would be fine, you know, just to pick that a very specific number. And you know, the replies to Twitter or Twitter article on this earlier are, you know, incredible, talking about it was assault and all this stuff, but that's not the Scot. You know, if something like that takes place, we've got a criminal system, exactly, a legal system that kicks in. I mean, that clearly wasn't anything on that side of it. And the Scottish FA, we don't know internally what Rangers did. They obviously didn't sack him or anything like that. I don't know what Rangers did internally. Is it a way of punishment? But for the Scottish FA, they've decided that 6 games,
of course, and they've set now a precedent, because like I say, it's very rare that it happens. So with nothing really to compare it to in this game, I mean, I got people saying way back to Duncan Ferguson's day, and you know, that was a totally, that was totally different,
so,
was
that,
it?
Without having, because yeah, I don't think we need to get into it, but that's so different on a number of levels.
Of course, so there is no comparison. So we very rarely see this. The
there's
SFA
there's a call this right now from William who wants to come on and say that Duncan Ferguson got in jail.
Oh, see,
these,
there you go.
These are
just
apples and
that,
oranges,
yeah,
aren't they? Like,
yeah, yeah, but you've got to be careful. It wasn't a case of Duncan Ferguson got to jail because he headbutted.
Exactly.
I was my teammate. Don't,
oh,
say.
It's your mate. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a combination
previous
of other things as well that come into it. Look, I think we can get carried away with this. We all know that it wasn't right. Of course, nobody's saying that, you know, it's a good look. It was terrible, disgusting. But to send the guy from his livelihood and everything, I think we're going a bit far in that. Yeah, you can argue it's 6 games too late. Would it be better 8? Would it be better 10? I don't know the reason. I don't know the answer to that. But Craig McPherson's come out and showed a lot of remorse as well, and he knows he's made such a big mistake, it could have cost him his job and everything. But 6 games, he'll have to just do his ban and then obviously never make that mistake again. I don't think he will.
I can only think the 6 games, Gordon, comes from, they must have looked at what happens at the minute, you know, where a straight red is obviously the 1 game. Is that what elevates you to 3 games? Is there something in place for
no,
a 3 game ban?
I mean,
an accumulation.
No, you'd be for like a violent conduct or serious foul play, straight red. First offence is 2, I think.
Is it 2 games?
Yeah, not 1. Yeah.
So there you go, 3 times that. You know, I guess that's how they've arrived at 6. I don't think they would have just grasped, oh, 6 sounds a good number, we'll hit that.
Well,
I think there'll be
some
thinking.
I don't know that, because think it. What did Jim Goodwin get for Ryan Porteous comments about him being a cheat and all that stuff? So there has to be an element of this. It's like, I guess it's when any punishment's handed out. There's never going to be this exact framework to
probably
to
not,
go off,
but I think I would hope there's something rather than just guessing at the SFA. Just saying, by the way, what do you think we should give Jim Goodwin? We'll give him 6 games. You know, what about Craig McPherson? Let me think. 6 sound all right. Aye, okay. I'd like to think there's something better in place than that.
Sides meet again in a few weeks, by the way. So I think let me
get your helmets on.
Try to count the 6. I would assume that's within the next 6. I think you'll miss that one, certainly. You'd at least like to think that because of the sort of overall embarrassment and bad look that it gave to the women's game, that there would be a concerted effort for everyone to act all friendly.
But I tell you what, there might be an enlarged audience. I know the numbers were good for that fixture. Think about when it comes round again, and it's a sad thing to say, but people love drama like that. You know, we don't like to see it in the game, but people love when it happens, and it'll attract more people. But I think both sets of players and staff will be on their best behaviour that day.
Okay, thank you to Frankie in Carluke on 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well, at ClydeSSB. Got a teaser for you.
Good.
And I must admit, I hope it's not one that gives us loads of stewards inquiries, because there's a few surprising omissions for me. But there we are. Can you name, in the Scottish Premiership era, so that's 2013-14 onwards, yes?
Yeah.
There are 9 players who've made more than 250 appearances in the league in the Premiership era. There are only 9 players who've made more than 250 appearances in the Premiership era.
McGregor.
Callum McGregor.
Which one, sorry?
Callum
McGregor.
Callum is absolutely
Alan McGregor
there. Alan?
No.
No.
No, that's why I'm saying he's not there.
Don't start shouting out nonsense.
And I'll think about it.
250.
Stevenson. Lewis Stevenson.
Oh, you would have thought so.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
Oh,
so names like this that are making me worry.
Hamlin. Don't tell me he's not in it either. All right, James Tavernier. Right, let's go for Tavernier. No. What? What list is that you've got?
Considine.
Well,
Considine.
Hold on.
Andrew Considine.
Yes, he's nearly top. He's got 285. All right. Well, if you think about it, so what, Rangers in the Premiership in the 16-17 season?
No, right, okay.
So you'd need to...
James Forrest.
This is the one that's worried me. Not on the list.
Ah... You need to look at that again. James Forrest, definitely.
No, he's not.
250,
no,
yeah.
He's got 224 Premiership appearances.
Craig Gordon.
No.
Davidson at St. Johnston.
Was it Celtic at that time and Hearts? No.
Davidson at St. Johnston.
No.
Witherspoon.
Yes. All right, we'll leave it there. You need thinking time. You're just throwing random names at me.
Well, they're good answers.
There's no consideration being given here. It's just.
Yeah, Witherspoon over two. He's got 264.
Leave it there. Callum McGregor, Andy Considine, David Witherspoon. Players with more than 250 Scottish Premiership appearances. So that's since the 2013-14 season onwards. All right. David Witherspoon's apparently top of that list, you know.
Is he?
On 289. I'm surprised at that. But anyway,
yeah, I'd have went for Considine.
I'm really worried about this question now.
Aye, I think it's questionable.
We'll see. We will see, right? 01419511025 is the number you need. Liam is in Rob Royston. How are you, Liam?
I'm good, thanks. And I've got a bit of paper with your name on it, so I don't call you Jerry tonight, Gordon.
Oh, was that you that did that a couple of years ago? I remember that. I've just about forgiven you.
Thanks for that.
I've already been called Duncan tonight, so it's been an interesting night.
I like when you get called.
Mick and Davey across the desk are in good form here as well, so take it away, Liam.
No, I'm just kind of following on from what's been said tonight. I think that this summer coming up is going to be a really interesting transfer period, because whatever Ange Postecoglou is doing just now, whether it's him or he's got his own team, I don't know how he's doing his recruitment, it's working. And I'm pretty certain that Celtic will lose players in the summer. There will be teams from down south that are looking up here, and they can get bargain players. They're not paying top dollar for guys in Scotland. That's been shown. They'll come up and they'll have a look. I do think that, I don't know, I'm just guessing and surmising, but I do think that Ange Postecoglou will have a plan in place. He'll have players that potentially he's got guys out looking at to fill in just now. On the other side of the city, with that now, is it going to be Michael Beale who has to go, and he's got his team around him, and he starts to do it with Ross Wilson being away? I genuinely think this is a really interesting kind of period that's coming up, because if, I'm obviously a Celtic supporter, but if Michael Beale goes and his recruitment doesn't work, does that take the heat off of Ross Wilson? It's a strange one. I think it's a strange one, because with the Rangers fans, it wasn't that long ago that Ross Wilson was a hero when he brought Aaron Ramsey. I mean, Twitter went mad. The world of Scottish football went mad because this guy had managed to bring Aaron Ramsey to the club, but it didn't work. So I just think this summer's really going to be pivotal to see what happens, and the next season's going to be really pretty good.
It's interesting that, Mark, because Liam hits on a really good point. I think about we are selective as fans and probably pundits as well about who gets credit, who gets blame, when, you know, for signing. So Ross Wilson is getting battered a lot from Rangers fans. Does he get the praise for the good ones? Does the manager get praise for being the final say on the good ones? Or does he get stick for having the final say on the bad ones? Yeah. Where's your head of recruitment and your scouts and all of this stuff as well? So it's sometimes that, you know, people will just be selective in where they direct their blame.
Yeah, you know what, it's not a job I ever envy, being a sporting director, director of football, because I think it's right that they don't get the credit when players work, because all of a sudden it becomes the manager. Yeah, the director of football, sporting director, got it over the line, but the manager fitted him into a system and he improved him as a player. When they don't go right, it's very rarely the manager's fault. It's always this guy, we should never have signed him, and the guy that signed him was the sporting director. So it's a very difficult role to get right. And I said before, when you're at Celtic and Rangers, this role, you are on the front line as much, sometimes as much as a manager. in the fire line as much as the manager. So that's why I think Ross Wilson looked at this, seen it as a good way out, high pressure gig. And it's no different, obviously. It's high pressure down south, but being here in this city,
well, there's not much like the pressure up here, surely.
Yeah, it's much different. I don't think if he did a poor job at Nottingham Forest, the fans would have banners with a red cross going through his... No, not a chance. So I think he looked at the overall situation, thought, yeah, it's time for me to depart, and I'm actually going to a decent league with decent structure. So a tough gig.
Liam's a Celtic fan though, Gordon, and he's given us a sort of broad look ahead, thinks it's going to be an exciting and important summer transfer window. It's the 13th of April, so that tells you the league's over. That's the only scenario under which we start that conversation this early.
Yeah, for most Celtic fans, I think there's probably two really important games to look to. One, the semi-final. If you get through that, then the final, obviously, to win the treble. But look, as much as fans are thinking right about the summer, managers already are ahead of that game. You know, Postecoglou will be sitting there having a fair idea of what he's got to bring in, who he wants to bring in, what positions he's wanting to fill. He might have an idea of who he may lose, and there's no surprise in that. So if you're doing your job right, you're ahead of the game and you should be. Another side of the city, I think this summer is so important for Michael Beale. If he's any chance of getting near Celtic, he has got to get it right. As Postecoglou has come into Celtic and his transfer windows have been absolutely terrific, and you can't take that away from him, Michael Beale has got to do the exact same.
Thank you very much to Liam on the line. That was Liam and Rob Royston on 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. And your final piece of contact us information for One Night Full Time at Clyde1.com. That is the address you need if you want to send a full time teaser. And so I've had one in tonight, and it's quite good because it's got some surprising answers on it. We're looking for, did I tell you, nine players who've made more than 250 Scottish Premiership appearances. So the key there is the word Premiership. From the 13-14 season onwards, over 250. There are some big hitters not on this list. Callum McGregor is, Andy Considine is, mm-hmm. and David Wotherspoon is.
What about Charlie McGrew?
The worst answer of the lot.
Aye.
Why?
Pretty bad.
Dreadful.
Aberdeen, Celtic, and
since Dundee
United.
Since 2013-14 to now.
What about Devlin at Livingston? Is that bad as well?
Oh, rubbish.
What about Halkett at Hearts?
Marcus Fraser.
I'm more interested in that, but he's only got 2-4-2.
Oh, look at that.
Those serious
so
answers
close.
You just gave me there.
I thought
awful.
I was right on the money with McGrew.
So I guess Pittman isn't the one.
Think between 2013-14, he was at Blackburn. He was down the road for ages in that time. Come on.
Scott Pittman.
No. Can when did Livy come into the top flight? Come on.
Exactly.
Think.
What a Livy player there.
Scott Pittman's about 100 short of this list.
Is he?
Are there any Motherwell ones? No.
I'm surprised. There's one that I'm amazed you've not got. Amazed. Come on.
From Motherwell?
No. Surprised you've not got it.
Celtic, Dundee United.
Your posters of this guy in his wall.
Oh, no. Who would that be?
Oh, I know who he's got posters of, but...
Who?
They're all retired.
Is this a joke? Seriously. You must know the guy I'm getting at.
It's a difficult one tonight.
If the question was trophies won during the Premiership era, this guy would be right up there. He lifted most of them.
Scott Brown.
Oh, my good old pal. How could I forget? See, just
disgraceful.
Out of mind.
We're going to hear from Stephen Naismith on binning Robert Snodgrass next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here. It's 0141-951-1025. And we're in the final part, so we're running out of time. If you want to squeeze your call in on the full time teaser tonight, I like this one because there are a few surprises in there, I think. We're looking for nine players who've got more than 250 Scottish Premiership appearances. So Premiership era 2013-14 onwards. Easy ones like Callum McGregor, Andy Considine, Scott Brown, David Wotherspoon you've got, but you've given me some big names that you thought would be on it and aren't. Tavernier's a bit short. James Forrest isn't on it. anymore?
Yeah, I've got a cracker, because I was thinking Tony the night and beat the pundit at Aberdeen. I'm hopeful that's his name, is it? Johnny Hayes.
Wonderful, well done.
Well done.
268.
And I'm staying there. I'm staying up there, the north.
Jim Leighton.
No, I played against
Alex
Jim
McLeish. Leighton.
No, played against him as well. Willie Miller. Niall McKinn.
Yes. Who is this guy? Who is this genius you've got in your team, Mark Wilson?
Boom, boom.
Incredible.
I'm going to get you a wrong answer. Lee Griffiths?
Yeah, it's wrong. Don't waste my time.
There you go. I'm good at my. I can give you wrong ones, I can give you right ones.
Joe Shaughnessy.
Joe Shaughnessy, aye.
That's brilliant. Thanks, I would never have got
I know.
That.
I had to think hard for that one.
Well done. Yeah, I'm happy with that. So what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, except two to get.
Mm. Do you get?
You'll never get them.
I don't think we'll get them as well. I'm
a goalkeeper in there.
Well,
must be a goalie.
Must be a goalie.
You always say that, don't you?
Aye, yeah, there's a goalie in there.
You've had some. You've had some poetry in for your big night out from our resident, yeah, curious creatures. He says Wilson's dressed for action as he hits the concert hall. When will he be famous, as the Hoops fans used to call? Matt Goss is quite the chanter, as the connoisseur can tell. The Dazzler thinks he's better taking free kicks for the Weld. See, that's Sean Goss. See what he did there?
Yeah,
that's clever. The joke there. Yeah. It's not just about rhyming with that guy.
When will he be famous? That's
yeah, he's good.
I like that, because that's the only song I now remember.
Me as well.
What he sang.
I know.
Brilliant.
When will I be famous?
What other ones would you like to give us some to warm me up?
What's that?
Because it's all in the news.
I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing.
Oh, nothing at all. Go.
That's the one. But when will I be famous? It's one.
Big talking point at the moment, isn't it? People who I had to run my fingers through my hair. I was so distressed.
Well, if we hurry up with this, you all might catch one of these songs.
People in the audience singing and ruining the performances.
Oh,
aye,
the Whitney Houston thing.
It's all kicking off. You there. Better.
Might mistake me for part yourself. Of the act dressed like this, though.
Yeah. We could actually, since we've not got long left, I could throw this out to the listeners and they can get back to me for the weekend. You ever seen that episode of Friends? Everything in my house comes back to a Friends reference, right? Where Joey just decides that he needs a new walk, right? It's such like a stupid thing to come up with.
As in a walk? As in
like a new walk, like a new style.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Gordon DL come into the office earlier, Mark Wilson, serious as you like, 61 years of age, just looked me in the eye and said, I think I need a new hairstyle.
Yeah, I do.
He said that same haircut for 40 years, yeah. And now he's decided, with no offence, no that much hair left.
Hold on a minute. You want a new hairstyle?
What sort of style are you imagining here?
Big gaps in it.
I don't know.
You can see your scalp
like
from every angle.
Like that, you know?
The Hamden Park pitch, we'll call it.
a grey jota.
Balding. Yeah.
No, I don't think.
Bobbly.
I'm only a wee bit at the back there, Mark, and I don't
I can see
the
through
back.
That no, flick. No, you at can't. The front.
But I'm fed up with the flick. I might go side brushed over. Heavy.
Is that enough to
heavy
brush over?
On top. Hey, don't you worry about that. I'm sure the listeners would come up with some great
skin fade. Get him a skin fade round the back.
That can be your task for the weekend. Tell us what type of new hairstyle a 61 year old man should pursue. In the meantime, whilst we get back to reality, let's hear from Stevie Naismith, because an interesting week for him. He's been speaking for the first time as interim manager of Hearts. He's made some big decisions already, hasn't he? Getting rid of Robert Snodgrass. And he says that Snodgrass not being part of his plans will make his job easier. He says the player was disappointed by the news and it wasn't an easy conversation.
Snoddy is not going to be involved. That kind of part of it's ongoing. I had a chat with him. Obviously, there's a suspension there. The decision's been made, and if Snoddy's not involved, for me personally, the job becomes harder if there's questions always about Snoddy. And speaking to Snoddy, I had this conversation with him, and all round I felt it was best that he wasn't around for that, for no other reason than it makes everything easier for me. Now, on that, Snoddy was really disappointed in it, and it's hard for me as somebody who's his friend, his teammate, and had a long lasting relationship with him to have that conversation, speak to him and see how disappointed he was. But Snoddy's got really good attributes. He's been a fantastic player for when I was his teammate, and I've only got good things to say about him, but the decision was made.
I mean, it seems a bit weird. I mean, Stephen Naismith sounds like a man talking that half it was his decision, half it was already made. You know, it makes things easier for him.
again, I would have thought having an experienced guy like Robert Snodgrass, who's played a lot of football this season, he played the last game, okay, he was sent off, he has to serve a suspension, but he could add something if you are going for third. And that's what, that's the task ahead of Stephen Naismith. He has to finish third. He would have wanted him there. But obviously, it seems like something else in the background has been on before.
Say, with respect, that sounds like the easy thing to say from the outside, doesn't it? I mean, with, like, you know, surely you keep him around and he can. But if that's counterproductive on or off the pitch for whatever reason, then you wouldn't. And sometimes, you know, is there a statement involved? You know, when an interim manager goes in, makes a big call, does that sometimes become part of it? Barry Robson, maybe not quite as. He put the captain out, didn't he?
Yeah, he put the captain out. I like it. Not for Snodgrass, obviously, because Mark's right. All we hear is how good a professional he is, a terrific player. But it is a case of saying, look, this is the way I want to go. Snodgrass is not going to be involved in that. No point in keeping him about the club. His contract's up at the end of the season. You may as well just concentrate on the guys that you think are going to do the best job to get you finished third. And probably he's now getting interviewed for a Hearts job. Let's be honest about it. So he's got to do it his way. No problem with that. Be your own man. If you feel that Snodgrass is not going to be a part of your team, then it's best to move them on. And as long as they move on, shaking hands, still remaining friends because they were teammates, I have no problem with that leadership.
For Snodgrass, though, going forward, if Robert Snodgrass wants to continue to play, doesn't look good for him, does it? When you're 7 games to go and you've come up here for a year and a new manager who is your teammate, a friend, I don't know how friendly they are now, but Stephen Naismith said the relationship's been good over the years, decides to say...
They'll not be going out for a pint anytime soon,
will they? I don't think so, but... In terms of a player, I think that damages your reputation a bit. It depends what Snoddy wants to do. If he wants to go on and...
I don't think that damages. I think Snodgrass,
if a club releases you, no, with 7 games to go,
there's different factors.
He's got such a long career behind him, yeah. There's going to be so many people out there that think, oh yeah, he'll come and do us a turn.
100%. It may just not be the fit now. And he's obviously suspended, as you say. He gets sent off. I think there's a big disappointment there for last week as well. But I like it. Look, I was in management. I freed my best man. It was the best decision I ever made. I went on a great success. Stephen Naismith.
A comment that really jumped out at me, Mark, as well, was when he was asked about, you know, is it only acceptable to finish third, basically, and he said that it would be nice, but for me, it's not the be all and end all. To be honest, the club have made a change to try and get a reaction. I firmly believe we will. Time will tell. Great start, you know, Derby coming up and all that. It was only 2 nights ago you two were here, I think. We played Andrew McKinley, the chief exec's interview, and he admitted that the added incentive of finishing third guaranteed group stage football £6 million intensified the decision making process to get rid of Robbie Nielsen. So maybe didn't go as far as to say it was the be all and end all, but it's a huge factor. It has to be, otherwise if you weren't that bothered about the difference between third and fourth, you would obviously just have left Robbie Nielsen.
Surely. So it made the big difference. The Hearts board saw that Hearts were going the wrong direction to finish in third, so decided to make the change. So big cross messages there. If you're a Hearts fan, you're sitting there and you're listening and you're thinking, yes, Stephen Naismith's the right man, and then he says it's not a be all and end all, you think, well, why have they moved quickly? Why not just give Stephen Naismith the job in the summer and keep Robbie on? So I think inside he'll know that they need to finish third. It's a big job. Stephen Naismith will hope he's got a long managerial career ahead of him, and this one period he hopes won't define him, and it shouldn't define him, really. But in terms of the Hearts job, if they don't finish third, then I can't see him getting that job. But here's hoping he gets a job somewhere else if they don't.
What a way to kick off the weekend as well, an Edinburgh derby, right? You've got two more players who've got more than 250 Scottish Premiership appearances, so 2013-14 on, really tough. You've got Callum McGregor, Considine, Witherspoon, Brown, Hayes, McGinn, Shaughnessy.
Is any of them still playing, Gordon?
Yes, they are both still playing.
And one's a goalkeeper.
And they're both in their Premiership still.
My goodness.
Interesting difference, because one of them has done it spread over 5 clubs, and the other one is a
Tony
one,
what?
No, the other one is a one club man throughout that entire period.
Hibs man?
No.
Oh.
The one club man's Killy. The 5 club man is now at your Motherwell.
Stephen O'Donnell.
No, he's just below him on the list as well. He's just below him.
Who's, right, hold on, McGinn?
Yes, Paul McGinn, well done.
Who's a Kelly one?
I said Power, but it's not Power.
It'll be the only one that's been at Kelly that full
Rory
time.
McKenzie.
Rory McKenzie, well done. Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. And thank you, thanks for listening. Thanks for your calls and your tweets, your company tonight. Much appreciated, as it is every night. We are back tomorrow. What an incredible fixture list we've got coming up to preview with Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell. So make sure you join us then. And in the meantime, you might as well stay right there, because Callum Gallagher is up next.